The new book, The Civil War in 50 Objects, is a fascinating examination of the event that changed the course of American history through 50 key objects from the collection of the New York Historical Society, from a small pair of wrist shackles to a medieval-looking pike to a hand-lettered newspaper. They are amazing artifacts, and again, all in the collection of the New York Historical Society. Harold Holzer and the New York Historical Society have put out the new book, The Civil War in 50 Objects, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Harold Holzer to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What brought you to the idea of putting it this way, of telling the story of the war by using these objects?
Well, I deserve none of the credit for thinking of this great idea. Viking Publishers, a few years ago, published a book called The History of the World and 100 Objects from the British Museum, and they conceived of the idea of doing an American follow-up about the Civil War. They and the New York Historical Society conceived the idea, and I got this, you know, one of these great calls you get that's sort of life-altering. A, do you think this is a good idea? B, do you want to do it? See, will you come up, you know, next week? We'll put out 75 objects and you help us winnow down to 50. So, you know, my answer is yes, yes, and yes. And I just had this great opportunity. I couldn't turn it down in a million years, and it was an amazing experience.
You are, as I mentioned in the introduction, Roger Herzog Fellow at the New York Historical Society. And one of the things that is interesting about the book is ultimately the question I would have is, how did New York's Historical Society end up with such an archive of Civil War era objects and give you this incredible trove to choose from?
And they have a million Civil War objects, not 50, not 100. So, and that is an amazing story. You know, different ways. First of all, they're a collecting institution. They're the oldest museum in the state, in our state, New York State. And so they do collect, and they've collected over the years. And when they see an opportunity, they seize it, like all collecting institutions. But if you look at the provenance history of a lot of these objects, they're donated by the children and grandchildren of the men who wore the uniforms or carried the drum into battle. There's a drum that has two bullet holes from Bull Run. The children of the drummer boy donated them. There's a copy of the terms of surrender between Grant and Lee that was retained by Colonel Eli Parker, an American Indian who was on Grant's staff. He drafted them on a piece of on a carbon paper device, so he got a copy from Grant. And later he moved to New York City to help create Grant's tomb, and his widow donated it to the New York Historical Society, and on it goes. Donations from patrons and others, and happenstance collectibles and purchases, and somehow a million objects become part of the collection.
Given your expertise in the war, as not to mention the collection itself, what was the process of winnowing down this amazing archive to 50 objects so that there is a narrative?
Well, first we wanted to, exactly, the first thing we were looking for was narrative. So we wanted to tell the story from slavery to freedom. So we wanted to begin with artifacts about slavery. We have slave shackles, we have a portrait of a 100-year-old slave, and we have a John Brown pike, one of those primitive weapons that he ordered en masse, 900 of them, so he could arm slaves in the insurrection he was almost certain would follow his successful raid at Harper's Ferry. And we end with examples of the liberation under the Emancipation Proclamation, and a copy of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution winds up the book, signed by Abraham Lincoln. So the narrative from slavery to freedom was crucial. But balancing that, we wanted there to be a variety of genres, as we fancy people in art museums say. And by that, of course, I mean examples of every kind of art and artifact, from beautiful, beautiful paintings of the Irish Brigade coming home to a great reception in Lower Manhattan after the Battle of Bull Run. Didn't matter that we lost, they got a great reception anyway. portraits of Grant, you know, artifacts like the 13th Amendment, but also simple things, diaries kept by soldiers, photo albums that soldiers preserved and passed on to their children, buttons that maybe over-avaricious soldiers plucked off the uniforms of dead soldiers, or sometimes took from prisoners in exchange for tobacco or food. Sketches made in prison camps, newspapers printed on wallpaper in the desperate days of Southern deprivation, letters that a New Yorker writes to his mother saying, "I love the South, I can't come home," of the charred Bible that was carried from the colored orphans asylum during the draft riots as the kids were being let out during the fire that was set by the white rioters. So all sorts of things that go do the whole range of medium as well as story.
And certainly the range in medium, but when you think of diaries and Bibles and letters and albums, so put such a human face on it and make it so personal to describe something that is the ultimate in humanity, which is, of course, war.
Yeah, and you know, we wanted there to be examples of life on campaign, sort of a footlocker, completely preserved footlocker. It's sort of like the ultimate in traveling luggage that an officer had with him during the war. A complete Zouave uniform worn by a New York Zouave. And, of course, for those who don't know, a Zouave uniform is a very colorful red baggy pants, white sash, blue short blue jacket with gold braiding, sort of an Arab-style fez on top with a long tassel. They were supposed to look like the French Foreign Legion, and they stood out in battle. They were the most unwise uniforms to wear. But these were the toughest guys. They were like the Special Forces today, and they made themselves into targets. So again, you know, technological things. We have a cipher key that was used to transmit coded messages for General Beauregard, and we have the original model of the way the metal armor plating was going to go onto the USS Monitor, which was a New York product made in Greenpoint with iron from Troy, New York.
It is fascinating to think of to what lengths the Americans who survived the war worked to preserve these objects.
Yeah, you know, and you hear stories like one in the newspaper today about a GI's dog tag that was dug up by a French family and returned to a 92-year-old veteran of the United States Army today by Mayor Cory Booker in Newark. Most World War II soldiers, you know, were did not save things the way that the Civil War soldiers did. And it's not just letters home. It was things that soldiers kept. And there was a remarkable understanding that these times were unparalleled and hopefully would never be repeated. So souvenirs were taken, enemy flags, enemy weaponry, letters, documents, and happily for us, the people who love history, preserved.
Are these objects all on display now at the New York Historical Society?
They're not. The bigger items, the big hits, like the return of the 69th, the painting of John Brown, the draft wheel that was somehow did not get destroyed during the New York City draft riots in July 63, but was completely preserved with all the names of the draftees still in the wheel. Uncalled because the riots began. Those are on permanent display, the drum, the Zouave uniform. The rest will be rotated over the next year, the documents that can't be out in the light for long periods of time.
Right.
So Lincoln's handwritten path to victory tabulation of electoral votes, where he was trying to figure out how he was going to win the 1864 election, the surrender terms, the diary of George Templeton Strong, one of the greatest Civil War diaries in history, written in this tiny print so he didn't have to fill up too many volumes because he was a thrifty lawyer. and a petition to Lincoln saying, why don't you emancipate the slaves already? It's hundreds of feet long and contains thousands of names. Will be displayed in a series of installations over the coming months.
Well, it's always fascinating. The book is The Civil War in 50 Objects by Harold Holzer and the New York Historical Society. You can find out more information about the New York Historical Society and about that rotation of exhibits by going to their website, which is nyhistory.org, nyhistory.org, and you can also go to haroldholzer.com for more information as well. Again, the name of the book, The Civil War in 50 Objects. Harold, always wonderful to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you again, Joe. Anytime.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, The Civil War in 50 Objects, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.